In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Well, it sure feels like winter has come, doesn't it, as we gather together today. It's cold outside. And just yesterday, I was up in the town of Plainfield, Massachusetts, up in the northern Berkshire Hills in the midst of this chill. And I was at a retreat for a number of members of the church looking at leadership. And we were nestled in the middle of the woods in this big old house with trees all around us and with countless stone walls all scattered throughout the hillside and along the lanes. You all know what I'm talking about, right? We love our stone walls here in Massachusetts and in New England. Did you know 237,500 miles of stone walls exist here in New England? That is nearly enough stone walls to make it to the moon. That's a lot of stone walls. And that tells you something, doesn't it? Those stone walls were not built by the early settlers just to have quaint, beautiful landscapes going through the woods, were they? They were created for a purpose, for agriculture, right? Clearing fields, raising crops. I don't know what they thought they'd grow in the midst of the stones, but raising crops, keeping animals in one section of the field and out of another section of the field. There was a purpose to all of those walls. And yet, as you look at those walls with trees growing next to them and out of them in the backwoods, removed from any sense of agriculture today, I, for one, when I look at them, think of change, of impermanence, of the way a landscape has changed so drastically in the past 150 or 200 years. It's hard to imagine Plainfield being a center of agriculture when today it is simply the deep woods of the Berkshires here in Massachusetts. Those walls tell me things change. The world changes. What seems certain can melt away. And of course, that is what our Old Testament lesson and our gospel seem to be talking about as well today. Things change. And as humans, it's easy for us to sometimes pay far too much attention to the things that will pass away and pay far too little attention to the things that will actually last. Isaiah says it absolutely clear as day in nearly the first line of the reading this morning. He says, God says, I'm about to create new heavens and a new earth. And then he says, the former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. God talking about his dream of healing and peace and joy for us, reminds us that the things we pay attention to, the things that we take for certain, the things that we trust in, they are going to pass away. But God and God's dream will remain and will stay strong. But you know, just like the farmers 200 years ago probably never could have imagined their field being transformed into wild woodlands, it can be a little hard for us to really listen to those words of Isaiah and pay attention to the things that will truly last. I mean, who here doesn't kind of like pay attention to your bank account? Who here doesn't kind of sort of pay attention to your mode of transportation, right? Like, these things sort of matter. They impact our daily life. And so we look at them and we think about them and we pay attention to them. And yet it is so easy to forget that all of these things will pass away. Now, it's not just us modern people who kind of start paying attention to the wrong things and play with our flashy digital devices and with all the things that clamor for our attention. That same sort of confusion was happening 2,000 years ago as the disciples trundled into the great city of Jerusalem, following their spiritual leader and their guide and their rabbi, Jesus. I love to imagine the disciples in this gospel this morning, because frankly, most of them are country bumpkins, and they are now in the big city of Jerusalem, right? They're looking at all the sounds, all the sights, all the big buildings, all the incredible places to eat and things to do, and the spiritual resources of the temple. Imagine somebody from like down east Maine going to Times Square for the first time, and I think we sort of have an image of the disciples, their jaws kind of agape as they stare at the massive building project that Herod is doing to build this immense temple, which was so large that even the Romans spoke of the building project of the temple. The disciples look up there and say, "Master, do you see it? Isn't it incredible?" I bet you've done this before too, right? You see something and it just strikes you. Wow. The ability of humanity to create and to build and to bring out beauty, isn't it incredible? Look, they say. Look at this temple, which is a symbol of our people and our faith and our God. Look at this temple, which reflects the beauty that humanity can bring out of stone. Look at this thing. Isn't it amazing? And Jesus apparently was not in a warm and fuzzy mood, because his response is, "I tell you the truth, not one stone will be left on others. They will all be thrown down." Well, geez, thanks, Jesus. You know how to pour some cold water on that, right? I mean, there they are just standing in awe, and he just kind of kills the mood, right? And he goes on to remind us that the fact of the matter is change is coming. Change is part of this world, and it's part of our lives. And that change sometimes can be lovely, like when a new building is built and it's gorgeous, or a new piece of art is unveiled. But let's be honest about it. Sometimes the change that shows up in the midst of this world, be it an unexpected diagnosis or a tragic death, that change can be troubling. It can be hard. It can be scary. And what we want to be certain, things will stay the same, we know that that's not the case. This world is marked by change. And like it or not, I think we can understand what Jesus is saying this morning, right? This world is marked by change and by troubling things. Shootings in schools, unrest in Hong Kong, impeachment proceedings, companies failing, big companies making ice cream right on Boston Road in Wilbraham, going into chapter 11. You know what I'm talking about, right? Friendlies, yet again. Weather patterns shifting. Temperatures out of whack. Species under threat of extinction. Unexpected diagnoses, cancer showing up. Change. Change is a coming in this world, like it or not, and we usually don't want to pay attention to that. So what if today, as Jesus tells us the truth, that change is coming, what if we were to pay attention to the other truth he tells us today? That there is something that is trustworthy and true that will not change. What if we were to listen to Jesus, this man who walked through the hardships of life and yet somehow was able to be centered on a truth that held him firm day in and day out? What if we could connect with that truth and that hope and that certainty which seemed to carry Jesus and the disciples and countless other faithful people year in and year out? Wouldn't it be wise of us in the midst of a world of change to pay attention to something that might be true? And so I think today Jesus might be inviting us to refocus our eyes and to look at God. Jesus has the audacity, after he has gone through that ridiculous list of scary changes, of wars and rumors of wars, of pestilence, of friends denying you, of you being brought before authorities and some people even being killed, he has the audacity to say, "But I tell you the truth, not a hair on your head will perish." Really? But what he is telling us is there is a truth that is so deep and so profound that even in the midst of the valley of the shadow of death, God will not leave us or forsake us. That truth is immutable. It will not change. Nothing, not market failures or social security failures or company failures, nothing can stop that truth of God. And Jesus invites us today to start trusting in what is certain, to put our hope in what won't crumble and fall. Jesus invites us to turn to God, God's life, living and moving in and through us. Now, I don't know if anybody here has ever been prescribed a prescription for, you know, medical things like a statin to help lower cholesterol. But I'm just going to tell you right now that if your doctor tells you to do that, you should take more than one pill. Okay? Don't just take one pill and say that you're done for the rest of your life. You actually need to keep taking the pill like the doctor prescribed, right? Or similarly, if your doctor tells you you need to be healthy and you need to exercise, going out and walking one time ain't gonna cut it. Learning to connect with the truth that God is with us is kind of like those things. You can't practice it one time and suddenly think, "I'm good, I got peace, I got this sense of security, and I'm never going to worry about things again." It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way with physical things, and it certainly isn't going to work that way with spiritual things. And I think that's what the collect, the opening prayer that we said today, reminds us about. To connect with this peace of God, this certainty of God's presence with us, we need to keep coming back to God. Listen to this prayer again. God, who caused all holy scriptures, the Bible, right, to be written for our learning, grant us so to hear them, to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. The idea is that connecting with God is a process of daily coming to God, listening to God, reflecting on God, and letting that story of God fill us so that it literally becomes a piece of us, like the food we eat that gives us energy to do the work we have to do. What if this week, what if we would let God's message of hope and grace dwell in us? What if every morning we would chew on it, let it work its way into our very being, so that as we go through the life that we go through, a life marked by change and chance and trouble, those words might keep coming back to us, holding us up? I'd like to invite you to a practice of chewing on Scripture this week. No, I don't want you to eat the Bible, but I do think it might be helpful to spend some time with it consistently. And the first reading we had today from Isaiah is a really great reading. It talks about God having a dream. And frankly, the gospel is just kind of difficult. So let's go with the Isaiah passage this week, right? Take home those bulletins. Tear out the page. And every morning, if you're a morning person, read the thing. Let those words stay with you. If you're not a morning person, no problem. Do it at lunch or at dinner or whenever you find time. But chew on that scripture and let God's certainty and God's hope stay with you this week. Because we know as the weather changes, as the days get shorter, and as the news keeps being what it is, this world is a-changing. But God's truth will never leave us. So hold fast to that anchor. Let it be in you. And may the grace of Christ hold you always. Amen.